If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians 3. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures, a couple of books that I'm going to be looking at this evening. But I wanted to start out here in Philippians chapter number 3. And in the context of this, it's not necessarily the the thought that I'm trying to get at. Paul here is talking about the Christian life. And, maybe part of what I'm thinking about. I'll tell you after I read what I'm thinking about this evening. Start in verse 4 of chapter 3, Philippians 3. Verse 7. I apologize. Verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. As I look here, and again, I've got some others that I want to look in. And if you want to find James chapter 1 and also 1 Peter chapter 1 and put you a marker there, we'll get to those in just a moment. But what I'm thinking about is, what to do and what do we do when life comes at us unexpectedly. The things in life, all of us have things that are very unexpected. Things many times that we hope that we do not have to face, but we face them. Trials, heavy trials, manifold temptation, as the scripture says. And these things are hard to live with. They're hard to go through. They're hard to get over. If we are not doing what the scripture has told us to do, we can find ourselves getting cold. We can find ourselves getting even bitter at God and may not realize it. When you think about, letting in. Unbelief trying to sneak in and change that which is pure to an evil heart of unbelief, and which is not going to happen. But the devil tries, and temptation and sin in the world and the pressures of these things, they do try us. God said that our trials are meant for something. Everything you and I face, if we could ever realize that, and they're meant for you and I to come out better. They're meant for you and I to come out much better, of more value, like gold. God lets these things come in our life. Paul was a man that went through a lot of things. You'll find in his life, he has been very open about his trials. How that he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was whipped, he was, I mean, all the things that happened in his life. But this man did not let trials get him bitter, did not let the things that came into his life completely throw him into question. What am I even doing here? Why do I even serve God? What should I do next? Or maybe I should just quit. There are a lot of things that begin to go through our minds, which we should be careful as a mature Christian not to entertain.
Yes, sir.
We should not entertain our fleshly feelings. Because our flesh, our fleshly feelings, they're going to want more and more attention. They always will. You can't just stroke them a little bit and say, I understand, and that's enough for them. They're going to want you to go the full length. And that brings bitterness. That brings bitterness. So I look here and I think about, and again, this is not necessarily what Paul in the context is talking about. Having gone through trials, but he is talking about the Christian life. And he is talking about forgetting these things that are behind and reaching forth, forgetting these things and not going back. In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. When we go through them, they are now behind us. Now, there's a stage that you and I get in. There's the entering in of temptation and being in it, going through it. But I'll tell you where we have to be most careful is when it's behind us. And I'm like, that was difficult. That hurt. I'm still hurt. I'm still heavy. How do I live now, having gone through that? How do I live life, having lost that? Without that person in my life, or that thing, or my life itself changed because of this. How do I go forward? And again, we cannot pet our feelings. It will bring bitterness. It'll bring confusions and questions. And remember, God is not the author of confusion. If everything you do does nothing more than bring you into more confusion about your state, then God's not put you there with those things that you've been thinking about. But Paul said, forgetting those things, not going back. Here's what he said. He said, I press toward the mark. There was a place that Paul wanted to get to. And he said, I know if I'm going to get to that place, I have to press. Which means he's got to pursue the way to the mark. It also means this. He has to be given to the pursuit. I have to set it in my heart that I am going to press. Don't stop pressing. If you ever stop pressing, you'll start stopping. You will not be pursuing. You and I must press. I press toward the mark. Paul said, press through this. You can press through this. You can press to the mark. And you may have to press. Many of us will have to press to the mark. But it means you need to give yourself to it. So if I'm going to reach the mark, then whatever it is I must do to get to the mark, that's what I must do. If it's putting myself to prayer, if it is giving God thanks, giving Him praise, praising my way out of my problems, whatever the Lord brings into my mind to get me to the mark, I press toward the mark, that goal, for the prize. This is the award. There's a prize. You need to remember that these things that come into our life, they come into our life, and there's a prize. For the prize of the high calling, that divine calling. Amen? So we see, that we must press through. The prize that we must see, the exchange. The prize for the trial. Amen? I am now pressing toward the mark to the prize of the high calling of God. So I'm now out of the exchange for the trial. I am now gaining a prize. The purpose is a high calling. That's the reason God has a high calling for you and I. A high calling. And that high calling calls us to go through these things that we go through.
Amen.
This path that we are walking in. This high calling that Jesus gave to His disciples was not always the easiest road. They were the most blessed.
Amen.
Look at their position in heaven. 12 seated next to Him.
Amen.
For all eternity. Was that worth being crucified upside down? Yes. All the things that they went through, not a doubt in my mind. The purpose is our high calling. You need to remember that God has a purpose in your life when He puts you through something. When you are tempted or tried, there is a purpose. It's not just for no reason. God doesn't do things in our life for no reason. There's always a reason. Always a reason. We should pray and ask God to reveal that reason to us. Now, I'll just tell you the way I believe. Sometimes I feel like the answer may not always be the very clearest to you and me. Sometimes we begin to think, well, I'll tell you what I think most of the time. When I'm going through something, it's because I deserved it. My sin. But did I ever tell you that the Lord, I really believe, settled in my heart years ago. Listen, He paid for our sin.
Amen.
He pays for our sin. We don't pay for our sin. He paid for our sin.
Amen.
Now, it could be that he is chastising me. Oh, yes. Is he chastising me for something that I've done, for some sin? You search that. But I'm not having to pay for my sin. You're not having to pay for your sin. He paid for our sin. Amen. He's just trying to get us to be closer to him if he chastises us. But he has a purpose. And then the power of this trial. Listen, the power that you and I would know him. Paul said that I would count myself to have apprehended, that I may know him. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's where the power lies. In Christ. In Christ. So God gives us this divine call, sets us on a course that we need to give ourselves to. In the book of James, chapter number 1, James is talking about in verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now I'm talking about, what do you do when life throws at you these unexpected events? How do you get through it? We're trying to understand these things tonight a little bit. Count it all joy. Here's one thing that he said to do. Count it all joy. All joy. I mean, the very wholeness of what joy and cheerfulness is. Count it all joy, the whole of it. You ever had just a little bit of joy? A little bit of happiness? A little bit of cheerfulness? Man, have you ever had a lot? But what about all of it? What about all of it? And he said, you count it all joy when this happens to you. Our joy in Christ, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. Us having joy through temptation, the joy of the Lord, are you listening to me? Is the most powerful thing that you and I can have. But if we can keep our joy, be joyful. How, Brother Mark, do I be joyful when these things, this person that was close to me, they're gone? How am I to remain joyful? Remember whose hand your life is in. Remember the one who delivers you. Remember the one that knows where you are and what you need. Remember who it is. We should never get to the place where we say, "Lord, I don't agree with what you've done." Oh, my. I wouldn't ever want to talk to him that way. Wouldn't ever want to talk to him that way. But I'll tell you what, it helped me and it helped you, is for us to count it all joy when we fall into that. That means that we're surrounded by them. Look at all this. I wonder if Daniel that night, when the lions were all around him, he was like, "Look at this. Lord, look at what we've got into now." Amen? You say that almost sounds great. It don't say that he did that, but it'd be a good way to lay your head down and go to sleep that night on them lions, wouldn't it? He said, count it all joy when you fall into something that's all around you, that you're surrounded by, into divers, various in character, divers, different kinds. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all different kinds at the same time. You could be facing death and life at the same time. All the things he said, if you can count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. These temptations, I begin to think about what is a temptation in this. In this resort, what is a temptation? It's a test of discipline. It's a test of discipline. Wouldn't you think? To see, can I count it all joy? Can I continue to worship the Lord? Can I be patient? Can I still have faith? Because all that's in here. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, those things that will test your discipline. It's also the experience of evil and adversity. Evil coming at you. Adversity coming towards you. Enemies around you. Arrows coming at you. Divers temptations. And then he said this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that's the trustworthiness of your faith. Is my faith trustworthy? What was it when Satan came to tempt Job and God allowed it to happen? God wasn't being mean. Looks to me like a test of his trustworthiness, his faith. Is Job going to continue to believe God? I'll tell you what Job did. I thought about this the other day. Job was the richest man in the East. Isn't that what the Bible said? And he's a spiritual man, more spiritual than all of them over there in the East at that time. And had a big family, didn't he? Now, when the temptation come, he lost his children, lost his home, lost all of his animals. Now, Job was a man that used to make sacrifice every day to God. Sacrifice for sin. And he would even make sacrifice on behalf of his children, wouldn't he? But now he doesn't have anything to sacrifice. What's Job going to do? What's Job going to do? How can his faith remain trustworthy? Well, he went out there and his flesh was touched. The boil was all over. He went out there where he usually sacrifices. And he sits in the ashes of all those sacrifices. He ain't got nothing to give to God. And all he can do is for himself. As if to say, God, here I am, a sacrifice, an ash pile, given to you, burnt, tested. Well, I'll tell you what, that right there stands out to me.
Amen.
It stood out to me greatly. I know the story of Job. I know y'all know the story of Job, but I'm telling you what, for what that man went through, I mean, through that time, right, that hardest time, his faith showed he was still believing in God.
Amen.
Still believing in God.
Amen.
Still trusting the Lord.
Amen.
So, the trying, the trustworthiness of his faith, his moral convictions, did they change? His truthfulness of God. In other words, what he believed about God. The things he told others about his God. The truthfulness of God. Did that change? No. A lot of people, you know, they try to change the God they're serving because of the condition that they get into. Well, God must evidently, and I must not have, you know, realized this. No, God doesn't. He doesn't change. And so when he's talking about our faith, the trying of our faith, the trustworthiness of our constant profession of our belief. What I believe, what you believe, that constant. Listen, my granddaddy, when he was alive, bless his heart, he used to tell them all the time, he said, they may come a day where they're going to walk in these churches and they're going to grab men of God and lock them up if they don't shut their mouths. And he said, they'll just have to lock me up.
Amen.
I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
Our faith, our constancy, a profession of our belief, of our moral conviction. You know, some people, things happen to them, and then they quit having the convictions that they one time had. I've seen that a lot. I've seen a lot of people, a spouse maybe die, and then, boy, I'm telling you what, that one that's left, suddenly, they're not living as close to the Lord as they had been. Their moral convictions begin to change. Moral convictions begin to change. Lord, have mercy. So we don't need to let our moral convictions change. We don't need to let, you know, this test of our discipline. We need to remain disciplined. It's important to remain disciplined when we go through these things.
Amen.
Keep praying. Don't give up praying. Keep looking to Him. Don't quit trusting Him. He's your best friend. He loves you more than anybody does. He's out for your good and my good more than anybody is. He knows what we need in our lives. He allowed us to go through this. You and I, we should have joy in knowing our lives are in His hands. He's doing something. There's a purpose in our life. James chapter number 5, and I'm done. Or no, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't have time to get all this, but I want to read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Being in heaviness. Well, what do we do when life gets heavy? I mean, one right after manifold temptation, just like pancakes, stacked right up on top of one another. Just keep stacking. Keep a heaping and keep a piling. Are you listening? Times in our life that manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, it is our faith. It is, again, a test of our trustworthiness. Are we going to continue trusting Him? That's what faith is. Trust in Him.
Amen.
Trust in Him.
Amen.
Trust in Him. That's why Peter began to sink after he started walking on the water. His faith faltered. His trust in Christ was strong at first. And he stepped on the water and all around him. We don't need to spend our time looking at that which is all around us. That will overwhelm us. I have the hardest time keeping my eyes just on him. Why? Because I'm feeling the water coming up. I can't help but want to look. And that's when he gets back. Start down, worrying, sinking. I need to get my eyes back on him. I need to get my eyes on him and look at him. He said, look at this. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Just remember, this is not going to be forever. Your life's not always going to be like this. The Lord's going to bring you through. It's a season. Go through that season with the Lord. Let's see what the season brings. Let's see what the season brings. Let's endure it. You're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of our faith, this that we are facing, is more precious than any amount of money you think you need to get out of your problem. Take the trial. God says, I could send the money. Or I could finish the trial. In our mind, it's hard for us to comprehend. Because it's painful. It's painful. But pain, this kind of pain produces praise. Though it be tried with fire, that trial of our faith, it's tried with fire. Our faith is tried with fire. God is trying your faith, my faith, with fire. Our trustworthiness, are we going to trust in Him? Are we going to keep believing in Him, in His ability? Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. All that happens, the trial of your faith, much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love. I'm going to tell you something. Keep loving him. Don't stop loving him. People go through trials, and the devil, he wants to attack our love for Christ. And he'll attack his love for us in our mind. His love don't change. The first thing the devil says, if he loved you, he's attacking his love toward us. We should never question the love of Christ. Never. Amen. The love of God. And so, having not seen your love, we continue to love him. We can continue trusting him. I think when we go through trials, if we would just continue loving him, continue trusting him, believing in him, amen, love him, love him, and praise him, trust him, whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. See, there it is, faith. Keep loving him, keep believing in him. You rejoice, keep worshiping him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When God brings you and I through these things, listen, if we come through it loving him, and believing in him, trusting in him, and praising him, when we come out of it, you talk about an experience of joy. God said it would happen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Amen.
The deliverance of that soul to come through the fire. Keep loving him. Really loving him. Don't, I love him. I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about like John loved him. And no matter what happens, Lord, I'm going to lay on your breast. I want to be close to you. I love you, and Lord, I trust you. No matter what comes in my life, Lord, I know this is trying my faith. Lord, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not changing my heart. I still love you.
Amen.
And I still believe you are who you said you are.
Amen.
I got nowhere else to go. I got nobody else to turn to. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. Lord, I praise you and I magnify you. Amen. I want you to stand.